Good morning, everyone. We have sunshine outside, and also God is with us with the new light this morning as we are getting together here to worship our God. Amen? Amen. I have some announcements to share with you. The first one is next Sunday, we have a town hall meeting at the chapel, not downstairs, right after the first service. So, you know, if you can spare time and if you want to get to know about what's going on at the church, please join the town hall meeting next Sunday at 10:20. And also, we have announcements for our Ash Wednesday service and also our scholarship, you know, application for this year. Pastor Bethany? Yeah.
Good morning, Midland First. It is wonderful to be with you today. I have the privilege of telling you about a couple of things. We will have an Ash Wednesday service on February 14th at 7 p.m. We will be having the imposition of ashes as well as communion, and it will be a wonderful time of reflection and preparing ourselves for the season of Lent. Likewise, I want to tell you about scholarships. We will have hard copies of scholarship applications available beginning February 9th at the front desk until April 18th. They will also be available on our website under the Forms tab. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. I would love to answer any. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we have a special announcements from our youth ministry. Teddy? Yeah.
Hello, Midland First. My name is Teddy. I'm here to tell you guys about the pancake supper that will have pancakes, bacon, sausage, and applesauce. It will be held on Tuesday, February 13th between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Please invite friends and family, come food, games, photos, and lots of fun. We have heard there are adults in the congregation who want to help out. Please let Pastor Bethany know, or Hillary, as soon as possible, please. And sign-ups are all around the church.
Thank you, Teddy. And also, we have also, you know, the announcements about, you know, Lenten season Bible study. Let's watch the video clip together.
Hello, Midland First. I'm here to invite you to attend the Lenten Bible series, The Purpose-Driven Life. We will be using his revised version of The Purpose-Driven Life, which is, in my opinion, even better. The evening will start with dinner, which should be a time of rich fellowship and reconnecting with those in our congregation. This will be followed by worship, which will include a video by Rick Warren, which will set us up for fruitful conversations in our small groups. I believe this dynamic has the potential to revitalize us not only as individuals, but as small groups and as an entire congregation. I also think it has the potential to be an incredible gift to yourself, to your family, both at home and your church family. I sure do hope I'll see you there.
Yes, please invite your friends and also family members so that we can have time of fellowship together. If you are not able to attend our small group Bible studies after fellowship time and worship time every Wednesday during the Lenten season, but they are welcome to join our fellowship starting at 5 o'clock at downstairs, okay? And so, you know, let us have time to greet one another. Why don't you stand up and also, you know, let us, you know, greet one another. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for being with us, you know, today as we are giving our lives again to you in this worship service. God, please fill this place with your Holy Spirit and help us, you know, enjoy your freedom in Jesus Christ. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship service with some singing. And you might notice that we have some new faces up here front with us. We have Delaney joining us on the piano. Hi, Delaney. Can you wave to everybody? Delaney has a very special gift. She plays by ear. We don't give her music. She does her thing, and she does an amazing job. And then we have in the back, we have Rob. Rob is joining us on an extra set of drums. Bongos or congas? I always get them confused.
Both.
Yeah. Both. There you go. I'm not a drummer. All right, let's get started. We're going to sing Hungry.
Just
unless you're a child. And the children can come forward, please. Please pray for the kids as they come down the aisle and pray for our Sunday school class. Our verse today is 1 John 3:11. This is the teaching you have heard from the beginning. We must love each other. Last week, Pastor Landis visited and told about his love and mission to Estonia. Estonia became independent finally in 1991, only 32 years ago. One of our Sunday Friendship Lunch friends is from Estonia. She and Pastor Landis visit as often as possible. More love. I apologize to Pastor Yum, I forgot my prop. Pastor Landis gave Pastor Yum a candy bar from Estonia. You'll see it when we get to the Sunday school room. It's in a language I can't read, but I was able to read the expiration date. Pastor Yum gave this candy to you guys. Lots more love. Today, we are going to share that love with people in our church who can't get to church anymore. They have to stay home, but we're going to help them remember how loved they are by making Valentine's for them. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for teaching us how to love. Amen.
As we enter into a time of prayer, I invite you to stand for this next prayer song. We are singing a song by Reuben Morgan called Still. And this song talks about when the oceans rise and the thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. If you are comfortable putting yourself into a posture of prayer during this song, please do so as we sing together. Father, we are so thankful to be able to worship you freely today. May your words and our prayers be lifted to you, and may you fill our hearts with your presence here today. Amen. Please be seated.
Would you please join me in prayer again? Dear most gracious God, we Midland First humbly worship your mighty name, who is our Creator, Sustainer, and Savior. In your grace, we have been called to be your family together. God, let us hold on to one another, even though we might have to go through challenges. God, you are the one we put our trust and depend on. You are the source of our lives, love, and calling. Also, you are the final destiny of our lives. We pray for our nation. Please heal the divisions of our country. Let our political leaders honestly and humbly serve the nation with a fearful heart for you. We pray for healing and restoration of the people living in war-torn countries. God, be with them in your grace. Help us to have the same heart you have for them, so that we can remember the people in pain and sorrow due to the wars in our prayers. God, remember our church family who are going through difficult times because of their illnesses, broken relationships, and losses of their jobs. Let them not forget that you are the God of Emmanuel, and you can use this time as a way for them to be refined in their faith and grow more. God, we are so thankful for your presence with us today. Let us continually follow you and find our places where you are. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering, and we really appreciate your continued support for God's mission through Midland First. Please continually pray for your church and continue to participate in God's mission, together. And please take out our French pad and let us know you are here together with us. And usher, please, come to the front. Yeah. We'll be right back. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so grateful for what you have done in our lives, especially for the faith we have in Jesus Christ. God, we are your people, and we belong to you, Lord. God, please use this offering, which is our token for our commitment to you, Lord, for the people who are in poverty, who are in need. And also, God, we offer our lives to you again in this worship service, and use our lives for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 8. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break away yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together once again. Dear God, thank you so much for inviting us to be here with our church family. God, we open our hearts toward you. You are the one who is speaking to us. And help us to follow your will faithfully. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, Reverend Landis preached about one of the means of grace, sharing our faith, as he shared his mission trips to Lithuania, Estonia, and with us. Today, the means of grace we are going to cover is addressing the needs of the poor. Before we start today's means of grace, let us be reminded of the meaning of the means of grace. Let me quote John Wesley again on this. By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, or actions ordained of God and appointed for this end, to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to man preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. God's desire for our lives is our transformation. God really wants us to grow more in our love for him and also love for others. And also God wants us to resemble Jesus Christ continually. God really wants us to be transformed, which means God is working on you and me even at this time so that we can experience God's transforming power in our lives. To do so, we have to intentionally practice the means of grace. The means of grace are God's anointed special way that we can experience God's power of grace in our lives. Wherever you can find God is, there you can find God's grace. Wherever you can find God's grace there, then you can be transformed. Because the major ingredient to our transformation is God's grace. Can you say amen to that? I don't know what kind of special things that you are going through right now, but all the things you are going through right now, God is using them for your transformation. According to the Book of Discipline, using the means of grace means our life in the Holy Spirit. How can you tell if you are in the life of the Holy Spirit? Here is, from the quote from the book of Discipline. Life in spirit involves diligent use of the means of grace, such as praying, fasting, attending upon the sacrament, and inward searching in solitude. It also encompasses the communal life of the church in worship, mission, evangelism, service, and social witness. If we live our lives faithfully in the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves practicing these means of grace. So our lives in the Holy Spirit and our use of the means of grace are inseparable. Every year, at the end of the year, I try to ask myself, how much have I been grown? We ask the same question. If we do not practice intentionally the means of grace, it is not easy for us to grow. How can addressing the needs of the poor be one of the means of grace? And why is addressing the needs of the poor so important? First of all, God identifies himself with the poor. God is with the poor, and God is of the poor. So we are to identify ourselves with the poor because we are in mysterious union with Christ. As I shared with you through the e-blessed message last week, by the way, how many people are receiving e-blessed message from the church every week? Just raise your hand. Okay, we are sending our churches an announcement and e-blessed message every week. If you need to receive that, just contact the church office, okay? I shared this message in my e-blessed message last week. God is with the poor. And where God is, we can find his grace. And wherever we can find God's grace, we can experience God's transformation, growth, and renewal. Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. Psalm 140, verse 12, it says, I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the needy and executes justice for the poor. We can find Jesus' mission statement in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Christ is quoting the scripture from Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 2, and also today's verse, when he announced to us his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jesus Christ's mission statement in Luke chapter 4. It sounds like Jesus' mission is for those who are poor, marginalized, disadvantaged, and oppressed. Jesus devoted his life on earth to be with those who are suffering and needy. His life is not for himself, but for others. The reference to the year of the Lord's favor is about the year of Jubilee, when all the enslaved in Israel received their freedom. That's why Ronald Sider said in his book, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, he said, God's word teaches a very hard, disturbing truth. Those who neglect the poor and the oppressed are really not God's people at all. No matter how frequently they practice their religious rituals, nor how orthodox are their creeds and confessions, if you neglect the poor, then you cannot be considered yourself, you cannot consider yourself as God's people at all. Do you agree with that or not? Secondly, addressing the needs of the poor is our true worship. Why was the northern kingdom of Israel destroyed in 722 BC by the Assyrians? Do you remember that? There are two reasons. The first one is this. They worshiped the idols. And they lived a very syncretistic life, which God really hated. And then at the same time, they disregarded and maltreated the poor, as well as foreigners, widows, and orphans who are living in their community at that time. Whenever you can find the words idol worship in the scripture, you will find at the same time the people's maltreatment of the poor. They always go together. That's why God gave these words to the people in Northern Kingdom at that time. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But as for you, return to your God, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God. At that time, in northern Israel, they worship God at the same time they worship idols, syncretism. And they maltreat the poor people. And they didn't care. But whenever they had to worship God, they came to the sanctuary at the temple. And then they gave their sacrifice to God. They did that all the time, but God said, here, that's not the worship I want to receive from you. You are not worshiping me because you neglect the poor. I need justice. I need love for the people who are in devastated situation in your community. In that kind of context, in Isaiah 58, God was speaking to Israel about true worship. What is the true worship? Isaiah 58, verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. That is the true worship God is speaking about. Thirdly, addressing the needs of the poor is participating in Jesus' kingdom work. Let us think about Jesus' teaching on the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. It is God's invitation for those who are powerless and outcast in the society. But many people, they misunderstood about these scriptures, especially the Beatitudes. These are the special recipe so that we can have God's blessing and happiness in our lives. You try to be poor in your spirit, then you will receive God's kingdom and God's blessing. No, that's not right. Instead, the Beatitudes are Jesus Christ's invitation for those who are in poverty, in suffering, in need, so the kingdom of God is open to them. That is the new interpretation of the Beatitudes. Jesus Christ, the very first teaching in the Beatitude is this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But in Luke, Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit have nothing going for them. These are folks who are in a bad state. Dallas Willard translates poor in spirit as spiritual zeros, meaning the kind of people who humans typically think have no place before God. But here, Jesus is announcing to them, no, you have your space in the kingdom of God. So Matthew 5:3 can be interpreted as, blessed are you who are feeling marginalized or outcast from God, who have nothing going for you spiritually, for you too are invited to the kingdom. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught us how we should pray. And you remember this prayer, give us today our daily bread. I think this prayer, this part in the Lord's Prayer, teaches us at least two things. The first one is this. Every day, we have to depend fully on our God. Our dependence on God has to be renewed. How often? Every day. Secondly, when we pray, God, you know we need our daily bread. So please, God, give us our daily bread. When you pray that, it means you are ready to help out the people who need your daily bread. As you know, the Lord's Prayer is called the Kingdom Prayer because the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, those chapters are about kingdom ethics of Jesus Christ. So the Lord's Prayer is called, which is in chapter 6, we call the Lord's Prayer the Kingdom Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray the Kingdom Prayer. Give us today our daily bread, which means, God, I can share mine with my neighbor who need my daily bread. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Last but not least, when we identify ourselves with the poor and address their needs, we can experience our transformation and renewal. Let us read this, passage, scripture together, Isaiah 58, verse 8, in Amplified Bible, which is a Catholic Church Bible. So let us read, this scripture, together. Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your healing, restoration, new life will quickly spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you, leading you to peace and prosperity. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God is with the poor. God vindicates them. When we move to the places where God is, we can find His grace. In His grace, we can experience our healing, renewal, restoration, peace, and prosperity. For John Wesley, stewardship means giving to the poor, period. Stewardship is not a prolongation of the temple tax. It is the practice of solidarity with the poor. So let me quote John Wesley on this. Give to the poor with a single eye, with an upright heart, and write, so much given to God, be a steward, a faithfully and wise steward of God and of the poor. I'm so grateful that Middle the First has tried to try hard to work with the people who are in need and marginalized. For the past 2 years, our mission conference has promoted the Readers to Leaders campaign, which is a missional effort focused on raising funds for children's education in Michigan, live area, and local communities. The mission conference has set the goal of raising $350,000 by April 1st this year. Our church alone has contributed over $22,000 to that total goal. I'm so grateful that we have been able to participate in that kind of a special mission effort. I also give praise to our helpers with Sunday Friendship Lunch. As you might remember, a few weeks ago, we had to close our church building on Saturday and Friday. And our volunteers came out, and they were prepared for the Sunday Friendship Lunch. This is what they said. Pastor Yom, we have to continually feed our friends on Sundays. In whatever the weather situations we are in, they don't care because we have to feed them. Also, I'm so glad that our community assistance program has increased our budget more this year to meet the needs of our community. Our blessing box has been well used by our community. And even this morning, when I came to church, one of our church members was filled the cart with his, with her, special donations. There is more that I can share with you about what God has used for. You can hear more stories next Sunday when you join the town hall meeting between the services. I pray that we can continually work closely together with the people who are in need, locally and also globally. This is because when we walk with God, who is walking with the poor, then we can experience God's grace in our lives. By doing so, we can experience our transformation, our growth in our love for God and for others, and also our healing, renewal, and even prosperity. Please hold on to that means of grace, and we will grow together more and more. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I'd like to invite all of you who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have an open table for anyone who has love for Jesus Christ. Before we begin our communion this morning, I'd like to have time to think about our lives. If there is anything that you want to confess to God, that you want to be forgiven, the things, please remember them in your prayer right now before you receive the communion. Think about your relationship with other people. Are there any relationships that you want to be renewed and restored? Please remember them and ask God to restore your relationship with them. So before we have a communion, before we invite our Lord Jesus Christ again into our lives by having communion, let us have a time to confess our sins and asking God his forgiveness. So let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. I want to thank God. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God, please forgive our sins. God, please renew us as we are joining this communion together. Bless the bread we're going to take together, and bless the cup we're going to drink from together. And be with us with the power of your healing. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On the night when Jesus Christ gave of himself for his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As we are joining the communion together, we are joining the life of Jesus Christ together. Amen? Amen. This is the body of Jesus Christ given for you. You may say amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. You may say amen. Amen. The communion table is open for you. Please join the feast of Jesus Christ together. Please come forward.
Let's go.
Let us pray. God, your life is in us, and help us to continually shed your life into the world. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand and sing our last song with us today, More Like You.
God's desire for your life is your transformation, and God is working on you. And also we have to practice the means of grace continually. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can continually participate in God who loves and cares for the poor. Now, go in peace. Amen.